Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra daf pei tes. We left off on daf pei ches on the base, about 8 lines from the end of the page. V'amar Rabbi Levi, kasha gezel. No, we passed that. V'amar Rabbi Levi, bo re'ei, shloka midas akarosh baruch hu, midas basar v'dam, which is 7 lines from the end of the page or so. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha la'shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and atzlacha of our soldiers and our captives. So first thing we're going to talk about is the comparison between the tochacha that was given by Moshe Rabbeinu and the tochacha given by Kodesh Baruch Hu. The ultimate tafyomi coincidence for yesterday, because it's the end of yesterday's daf, about the tochacha on the day that we actually read about the tochacha. Then the Gemara is going to have various brisos about weights and measures and about the halachos that are relevant to weights and measures. We're going to have the discussion about the responsibility of Beis Din to oversee proper weights and measures. The Gemara is going to talk about the actual scale and what the halachos of the scale are, depending on what it is, what type of business you're running, what the measurements of the actual size of the scale and the different components of the scale need to be. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about when a scale is or is not mekabel tuma, meaning not only do we talk about iser v'heter, do we talk about dinim mamonis in terms of the scale and what you're allowed to keep and not allowed to keep, but in terms of if it's not a usable scale, because of halachically it's not a usable scale, then maybe it becomes something that's not even a kli. And if it's not a kli, then it's not mekabel tuma. Then the Gemara is going to discuss avoiding unfair measurements of land as well as unfair weights. And that's going to bring us pretty much to the end of the daf, about not having the weights and measures that are improper. So let's begin at Peches and Beis v'Amar Rabbi Levi. So the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses his rachmanus and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mita tova is meruba and therefore his bracha is so much greater, that is very different than the mita of a basav adam who doesn't have the level of rachmanus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, and therefore when you compare the klala and the bracha of a basav adam, the klala will sometimes outweigh the bracha. How do I see this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu beruch yisrael be'esum shtayim umakalvan b'shmona. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Klal Yisrael with 22 osios, but when he was makalo Klal Yisrael, it was only with 8 osios. Where do we find such a thing? So birchon be'esum shtayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevarich Klal Yisrael in the parsha of the brachos, when he's mevarich us with 22 brachos, me imbechu kosai, from the pasuk of imbechu kosai telechu, in parsha b'chu kosai, obviously, which begins with an aleph, im begins with an aleph, and it goes ad komamius up until the olecheschem komamius, which is 10 pesukim later, where perchavav pasukim gimel, which ends with the letter taf. So you see that the brachos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu span all 22 letters of the aleph beis, and it begins with an aleph and it ends with a taf. The Marasha points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevarich with 22 osios. It's a remez that the kavana is to be mevarich in any way that the mouth can speak, and therefore the signon of the brachos in general is in generalities. The brachos are not in highly specific. The klalos get very specific, and the brachos are very general. Why are the brachos very general? So the Marshal says, because the kavan is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to say, and everything that is included in these categories of bracha is also included. So that's why the brachos are always much shorter in terms of the numbers of psukim that they take up, because when you speak in such generalities, it includes so many specific examples that there are too many to enumerate. The kilon b'shmona and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only mekalalas with eight letters of the aleph beis mi ve'im b'chukosai timasu, from ve'im b'chukosai timasu, which is parachavav pasuk tes vav of parshas b'chukosai, where the pasuk begins the klalos starts with the letter vav ve'im b'chukosai, not im b'chukosai, ve'im, and ad ve'es chukosai gala nafsham. So it ends with the letter Mem. So from the letter Vav to the letter Mem is only 8 letters, and therefore it spans a much smaller segment of the Aleph Beis. That's as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned. V'ilu Moshe Rabbeinu, yet when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, Birchon B'Shmona U'Kildon Be'Esr M'Shtayim, he was Mevarich us with only 8 letters, and he was Mekalil us with 22 letters. Birchon B'Shmona, he blessed us with only 8 letters, because his bracha starts with Mi V'Haya Im Shema Atishma, in yesterday's parasha, V'Haya Im Shema Atishma, which starts with the letter Vav, V'Ad, and it goes up until the pasuk of La Avdam, which is Lo Sasa, we call it Dvarmash, Anochim Tzaveh Eskameyom, Yumin Esmol, Lelecha Sachar Elohim Acherim, Li Avdam. So it ends with the letter Mem, so the bracha includes only 8 letters from the letter Vav until the letter Mem. V'killan Bas Mushtayim, but he's Mekalilas with 22 letters, that the parsha of the Klal of Moshe Rabbeinu begins with Mi Vahaya Im Lo Tishma, that it says Vahaya Im Lo Tishma B'kol Hashem, which starts with the letter Vav, and it goes Ad V'ein Kona, and it goes all the way around to the letter Hey. It says Vismakartem Shom Loivecha LaAvadim LeShvachos VeEin Kona. That the klal we read about yesterday concludes with you're going to go back on boats to Mitzrayim, and they're going to try to sell you as Avadim again, and this time no one's even going to buy you as an Eved. So it ends with the letter Hey. So from the letter Vav all the way to the letter Hey is the full Aleph Beis. And that's what it means, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mekalel with 22 letters. My brother was saying that he had a kasha, because there's a Rashi on Chumash, I forget where, maybe it was even yesterday, I don't remember. He said there's a Rashi on Chumash that makes the opposite point. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu expressed much greater Rachmanus and tried to have much greater Rachmanus than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I gotta find the Rashi. So he said that he was bothered by this kasha. He was in Eretz Yisrael, and he saw an old Talmud Chacham, he was a retired Rosh Yeshiva in Shul, and he went over to him and he said, it's a Nishta Ga'in Shakasha. So my brother said, okay, so what's the answer? Nishta Ga'in Shakasha. So he said, I don't know. But he said, I have this thing. He takes out his phone and he goes to Google. And he says, you know, you can find answers like this. And he couldn't find an answer on Google. So my brother suggested that maybe the difference is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu aims his klala always hits the mark. Meaning he doesn't have to, it's not like a blind person feeling around in the darkness where he doesn't know where to go and what to look for. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, he tries to be Rachman in his klala, but he doesn't know it's, Mashal Ma Davar Dome. This is based on the Marsha. My brother, the Marsha says, makes this point. He just doesn't need to answer this kasha. That Mashal Ma Davar Dome, when Kayan kills Evel, so called Demei Achicha Tzorakim Alai, what's Demei Achicha? How many bloods did he have? Because he kept on stabbing him all over the place because he had no idea where the Netilas Neshama actually happens. So Moshe Rabbeinu was like stabbing all over the place, and that's why he ends up with a klala with 22 letters, even though he was trying to be, in his lashon, he was trying to be a greater Rachman. But sometimes, you know, getting the punishment over with and knowing exactly where the punishment belongs, that ultimately is the greater Rachmanus, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable of that. Also, the idea that the klalus in yesterday's parsha end with that you can be sold down to Mitzrayim ve'ein kona, so that sounds a little bit like a bracha, right? Meaning nobody's going to be interested in buying you as a slave. That means we don't go back into slavery in Mitzrayim. So I forgot who I saw. Someone wanted to explain that no, maybe the difference. The idea is that Itaka is a little bit of nechama, but not in that way. It's a little bit of nechama in the sense that once we're the Amanivchar, there's no turning back. Meaning once we become the chosen nation, once we have Kabbalah Satorah, there's no going back to the way things used to be. It's Mashal Ma Davar Dome, like the Kuzari writes, there are different levels of Bria, right? You have a Domeim, and then you have a Tzomeach, and then you have a Balchai, and a Medaber, and a Yisrael. And the Kuzari writes, what makes something just an entirely different level of the Bria versus just being a slightly better version of the lower level thing? So what makes something an entirely different level of Bria is if you take away its unique koach, it doesn't just revert to being with the lower level. It goes back, it becomes even worse than the lower level. Right? If you have a tzomeach, let's say you have a plant that dies, it doesn't go to be a rock, which could stay solid for hundreds of years. It withers a plant that dies. If you have a balchai that loses its chiyus. It's called chachiyus. It's not still tzameach like a plant. It loses, it goes below. So, so too Klal Yisrael. And we, once we achieved the Kabbalah HaTorah and the sense of being the Am HaNivchar, so even when we throw it away and we try to lose that, we can't go back to the way things were. We can't go back to being an Eved in Mitzrayim. That's part of being an Am HaNivchar, is that the previous level down is no longer an option for us. Okay, so now back to the discussion about weights and measures. So Makum Shinagu, if everyone could just mute themselves, Makum Shinagu Lamud Begasa, that if the minig is to be to measure with a larger measuring utensil, you shouldn't use a smaller one because you're not allowed to be mishana from the minig Makum, neither in favor of the lokeach nor in favor of the mocher. So the Gemara discusses Simin Ein Meinimin Gotchen Barga Be Agardimin Ubelitro Shloshavas Nefesh Mishkalz Machi Kavalot. This is a simon of all the different brisos we're about to bring about the midos and mishkalos. So after we go through them, you can look back at the simon and see how it makes sense. But Tanu Rabbanan, the first brisa says as follows: Minayin shein mochkin b'makom shegodshin. How do I know that you shouldn't even out the midah, the measurement, in a place where the minig is that they heap it up, where there's it goes heaping over the level of the kli, and even if the buyer is mochel, then he allows you to be mochel. And you shouldn't put a heaping measurement where the minig is that they're mochek, that they smooth it out on the top, even if the seller is mochel. And he says, okay, I don't mind you taking a heaping measurement. How do I know you still don't do it? Talmud Omer, Eifa Shlema. It says Eifa Shlema. So the pasuk emphasizes that it has to be precision. It has to be shlema, and therefore you're not allowed to be mishana from the minhag makom, even when there's mechila, because eino chinami. It's not going to be gezel if there's mechila. However, it could still lead to a takala, because other people are going to see the way that you measured. They're going to think that's the minhag makom, and they're not going to realize that there was a mechila that was in place, and therefore they will conduct transactions in accordance with the way they saw you conduct transactions without a mechila, and then it's taka going to be stealing from either the mocher or the lokeach. So that would be a terrible thing. Other dinamu, minayin shim amar, hareini mochek b'makom shegodshin. How do I know that if the mocher says, you know what, I'm going to sell an even measure, even though the minig is that we sell heaping measures over here, the lifchoslo min adamim, but don't worry, I'm going to charge you less. So, yeah, elochinami, you're getting less product when I'm not godesh, but I'm going to charge you less. Vareini godesh b'makom shemochkin, or the mocher says, I'm going to make it a heaping measurement, even though the minig is that they don't do that, ulohosif lo adamim, and I'll charge you more for it. She'ein shomen lo. We don't listen to the mocher, even though there's no chashash that anyone's going to make a mistake in the din. Because dafka, if you can tell people that they don't know that there was a mechila, but over here everyone sees that there's a difference in the payment, so they're going to understand that there must have been some sort of agreement between them. So this is going beyond what we had said previously. Previously we said if people have a private agreement to be mochel, so you shouldn't veer from the minhag makom, because no one's going to know that you had a private agreement to be mochel. But over here, they're going to see you're changing the price. So obviously, everyone's going to realize that you had your own agreement, and still you don't do it. Talmud Lomar, Eifa Shlema V'tzedek, Yielach. That the term V'tzedek is extra, because it already says it's supposed to be an Eifa Shlema. So what's it telling me? That you should always keep the minhag makom. So, because there's still a chashash michshal, someone might see this medida and is not going to see the price that you set. Meaning, even then, there's a concern that people are going to get the wrong impression, because not everybody knows how much you're charging, how much the other fellow is paying. So they might see that you're doing different than the minhag. They're going to think that is the minhag, and they're not going to know that the price was adjusted accordingly. Another brisa, Tanu Rabbanan, minayin she'in ma'ainin b'makom shemachriin. How do I know that we don't make the scales go perfectly even in a place where the minhag is that you go a tefach in favor of the lokeach, like we spoke about yesterday in the Mishnah, that it's supposed to weigh down in favor of the lokeach by a tefach. Ve'in machriin b'makom shemayinin. But you also don't go a tefach in favor of the lokeach if the minig is that you do it perfectly even. Tamalomer, how do I know that you don't do that? Because the pasuk says, Even Shlema. It says Even Shlema Yielach. So the weight is the Even, and it needs to be Shalem. Shalem means like the minug of that city, and no different than the minug of that city. Uminayin Shemamar Hareini Ma'ayin B'Makom Shemachriin V'Livchasom Min Adamim. He says, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to weigh it down a tefach in favor of the lokech, but don't worry, I also won't charge you as much, and the difference in my method of weighing will be reflected in the price. And you can't say Vareini Machriya B'Makom Shemayinin. I will weigh it in favor of the Lokech, even though the minig is not to weigh it in favor of the Lokech. Ula Hosef Lo Al Adamim. And therefore, I'm going to charge you a little bit more. Shein Shomelo. How do I know that we do not listen to such an arrangement? Tamalomar Even Shleima V'Tzedek. The extra term Bitzedek teaches us that even when there's an adjustment in the price, we don't do this because it's still a chashash michshol. People might see only the medida and not see that the price has been adjusted, and they're going to think that's the minhag hamakom, and they're going to go and do that without adjusting the price, and that would be a terrible thing. Now, the Yad Ramah writes that if they made a beferish tanai, then the tanai is kayim, and they could be mishana from the minhag hamakom. In Shuvas Maram Shik, he quotes in Chosh Mishmas Simulamid that a mechila works. A mechila of the Kohen works to pater the mocher from the requirement of doing the hachra'ah. And he proves it from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Aruch Chaim Sim Shin Chav Gimel that on Shabbos, since you're not allowed to be modit on Shabbos, you can't be medaktek b'medida. You have to be memait or ma'adif. That on Shabbos, measuring is an isser because of mekach u'memkar. So if you're measuring something out, don't do it perfectly. Meaning measure imperfectly on purpose. And Magen Avraham says, but that's evil sadin, it's evil samida if you measure imperfectly. That's stealing. So he says, nah, everyone's mochel. And as long as everyone's mochel, then that's perfectly fine. So like the Yad Ramah, that if there's a beferusha mechila, then that's perfectly fine. However, the Maram Shik says that mechila only works when it's not against the minhag, because when there's a minhag in the other direction, then there's a chashash for a michshol. When the Shulchan Aruch paskens about weighing on Shabbos, it's because no one is going to make the mistake of learning from Shabbos to Chol. Meaning our Gemara makes it pretty clear that even if everybody's in agreement, you're not allowed to make the adjustment. So that's what the Maram Shik explains. When there's a mina kavua, you're not allowed to make the adjustment. But if it's not a very clear mina kavua and everybody's mochel, then you are allowed to make the adjustment. And on Shabbos, we're not worried that people are going to learn from, even when there is a mina, we're not worried that people are going to learn from you, because no one learns from Shabbos to how a transaction is done during the weekday. It's always done differently on Shabbos because you can't really transact in the normal way on Shabbos. Okay, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Misura. Pasuk says, Lo yeluch beveischa. Pasuk says you can't have Efa gedolah uktana. So we dash on the Pasuk, what's beveischa? So matam. Why is it that you're going to have, meaning lo yeh beveischa, we're understanding al derech drush as like you won't have things in your house, that a person will suffer from poverty. Matam, why is a person going to suffer from poverty? Mishamei fe'efa. Because he's going to have two different measurements, one larger one, one smaller one, to be able to cheat people with. Lo yeh lucha bekischa, you're not going to have money in your pocket. Matam, what's going to bring about that curse that you're not going to have money in your pocket? Mishum even ve'even. I mean, obviously, it's not Pasuk Pshat in the Pasuk. There's a drasha, right? The Pasuk actually says, Lo yeh lecha bekischa even veven gedol lo ktana. It's an isser. Do not have in your wallet, do not have two different measuring stones, one large, one small. But we're darshaning, there's like a chassidish shtickel tayr, right? Where it puts the punctuation in a different place. That lo yeh lecha bekischa, you're going to have no money in your kiss. Why? Because even veven, because you keep unfair measuring. Aval even shleima v'tzedek. But if you're knowing with even shleima of tzedek, yeluch, then you're going to have eifa shleim of tzedek, then yeluch, again, which is not pashim shalim pasuk, pashim shalim pasuk, even shleim of tzedek, you should have, it's a mitzvah to have the proper measuring. Tanu Rabbanan, so we have another brisa. The Torah has two psukim about midos and mishkalos, and the Dvarim Chafei psukim Yud Gimel Yud Dalet. So Liya Bekischa Evan Veevan Gedol Uktana Liya Lucham Veischa Efeva Gedol Uktana. L'chora could have just said Bekischa Evan Veevan Efe Veefa Gedol Uktana Ki Im Evan Veefa Shleim of Tzedek. Why do you have to have another Lo Yia Lucha? Right. So Yia Lucha Melamed Shema Midin Agardim in the midos. So we see that we appoint people to oversee that the midos, that the measuring utensils are proper, and if they're not, they punish accordingly. However, we do not appoint people to oversee pricing in a community. A person wants to overprice his product, they'll go to a different store. The customers will vote with their feet in terms of but if you have unfair measuring utensils, so the customer's not going to realize. The Beit Nasiya Okimu Agardim in Bein Lamidus Bein Lasharim. The Beis HaNasi set up officers to oversee both midos as well as pricing. So Amalei Shmuel Karna Pok Tanilu. Shmuel told Karna, go out and tell them Mamidu Agardim Midos Bein Mamidu Agardim Lasharim. You have to teach them it's not the halacha that you're not supposed to appoint officers over the pricing. So Nafak Karna went out Darishlu Mamidu Agardim Bein Lamidus Bein Lasharim, and he taught them that we do appoint officers to oversee all of this. So Amalei Shmuel said to Karna, Mashmach, what's your name? So he said, Karna. He said, my name is Karna. So Shmuel said, Tepeg le Karna Beile, you should grow a horn between your eyes. So Nafka le Karna Beile, he grew a horn between his eyes. So that's what the Rabbeinu Chananel says, probably not a horn. He probably had some sort of growth, some sort of something, you know, is a swelling or something between his eyes. Hard to imagine that just a horn, he became a unicorn and a horn grew between his eyes. So the EU command Savar, but Karna, who went and taught this way that they should to appoint officers for this, who's he holding like that? He told them that they should appoint a guardman even for the pricing. That we do this for the people who are dishonest, they wait until they're the only show in town, and there's no other choice of where people are going to shop, and then they sell things at a very high price. Meaning people who engage in predatory pricing to begin with to put the competition out of business, and as soon as the competition's out of business, then they raise the prices of everything. So it is important. You can't just say, oh, let people vote with their feet and they'll go buy somewhere else. People can adjust their pricing to a point where they're able to put the competition out of business, so there is going to be nowhere else to buy, and then they're going to take advantage of the community. He requests of the mocher, I would like to buy a litra of basar, so the mocher should weigh a litra of basar through using a weight that weighs a litra on the other side of the scale. Chati litra, shokalo chati litra. Revia litra, shokalo revia litra. You might have guessed all of these things, right? So says the Gemara, my kamashmalan, what exactly is the chiddush? That if a guy asks for a pound, sell him a pound. If he asks for a half a pound, sell him a half a pound, right? So the miskanin mitkali ad hachi. Now the chiddush is that that's the set of weights a mocher is expected to have. But a weight smaller than a revia litra, he's not expected to have. Meaning once the weights get so small, it's too difficult for people to tell the difference between them, and then it's ripe for cheating, right? Meaning once you start getting into 1/8 and 1/16 and 1/12, people aren't going to be able to easily tell the difference between them, and therefore it's too likely that the mocher is going to end up cheating his customers. Says the another braisa, Tan Rabbanan, Hayim Vakish Ben Shlosha Rive Litra. If the customer asks for 3/4 of a litra, so we said you could have a litra weight, a half litra weight, and a quarter litra weight. So there is no 3/4 litra weight. So how do you, when someone comes in and asks for 3/4 of a litra, what do you do? So lo yomalo shekoli shlosh rive litra achas, that take the quarter litra weight and measure that out 3 times, because then the mocher is going to lose with each time, because the halacha is because he always has to favor the customer a little bit by leaving a little bit of revach, a little bit of room for error in favor of the lokech. So the more times he weighs it out, the more he's going to lose. Ella, rather, what do you do? Shokel litra, the mocher takes basar keneged a litra, a full litra, umaniach revia litra ima basar, and he puts a quarter litra weight on the side of the meat, on the other side of the scale, and that way he's going to even it out with 3/4 of a litra. But he only has to do one act of weighing. Tan Rabbanan, another brisa. If he requested 10 litrin. Lo yomar lo, the kona cannot say, shkoli achas achas v'chriya, that I want you to measure out 1 litra at a time and be machriya in my favor each time, because the mocher is going to lose out. He could take 10 litra weights, put them all on one side of the scale, and put all the meat that the kona is buying on the other side of the scale. So okay. So now says the next price, and the next price adjusts from talking about the weights and the measures to talking about the actual scale itself. I don't know if the art scroll has a picture of the scale that identifies the different parts that we're going to talk about. If it does, that would be very, very helpful. Does it? Yeah. Okay. So that's you know, this is the kind of thing, if you see it, rather than me using a lot of words to describe something. So Tanu Rabbanan, nefesh moznayim, the nefesh of the moznayim, which is like the centerpiece that holds everything in place. It's the part that's at the very top of the scale. Tuliya ba'avir shlosha tfachim is 3 tfachim, has to be hanging 3 tfachim off of the ceiling. Ugavo min ha'aretz shlosha tfachim, and it also has to be 3 tfachim off of the ground, so that the scale has the ability to weigh in one direction or the other without hitting the ground. The kana umasna shala, the kana and the masna, which are what's in between that centerpiece and the cups that are at that are on each side of the scale. So the kana goes horizontally and the masna goes vertically. So the kana and the masna that form like an elbow that holds the cup the plates that where you put the items, shneimasar tvachim. It's the kana is 4 tvachim and 4 tvachim of each of the chavalim, each of the masnas. So if there's if it's less than that, then the mocher has to add in order to be machriya. Vishal tamarim, vishal zagagin. If people sell wool or they sell glass, so then the dinim of the scale are a little bit different. So then it's tluya ba'avir shnei tvachim. Then the nefesh, the centerpiece, only needs to be 2 tvachim from the ceiling. Ugva minar shnei tvachim. It only needs to be 2 tvachim off the ground. The kana umasna shala tisha tvachim. And the kana umasna is a total of 9 tvachim. 3 tvachim for the kana and 3 tvachim for each of the masnas. So because they're weighing things that are much smaller, so you could have a smaller scale. Vishalchen v'ni vishal balabayis. And when you deal with the chenveni or balabayis that deal with very small measurements, the scale should look as follows. Tliya ba'avir tefach, that only has to be hanging 1 tefach off of the ceiling. Ugva minaretz tefach, it only needs to be 1 tefach off of the ground. The kanu masna shala shisha tefachim, and the kanu masna is 2 tefach for the kana and 2 tefachim for each of the masnas. Vishal turtini, and a weight of someone who sells gold or silver, since that deals with very tiny quantities, because obviously we're dealing with very highly valuable commodities. So tliya ba'avir shalosh etzbaos. And only the scale for such a thing is only, meaning a jeweler's scale is very different than someone who's selling, than a butcher's scale, right? When you're selling something that's very valuable and very tiny, so then it's only hangs shalosh etzbaos. Gvav min ha'aret shalosh etzbaos. V'kanu masa shala en yodeya. And the kanu masa, we're not sure exactly how long that has to be. So with all of these specific types of salespeople, we went through how big their scales have to be. But the Bryce started by saying, but the average scale, the typical scale, is 3 tvachim off the ceiling. What was that for? Velahach kamaisa demai. Meaning when we spoke about the typical scale, what was that about? Samra papa digrumi. We're talking about people who are coppersmiths and people who deal with iron and copper, heavy metals. So that they need a larger scale when you're dealing with heavier metals, things that are dealt with in higher quantities and higher weights. So now the Gemara discusses, okay, now that I know what kind of scale a person is allowed to use and not allowed to use, how does that affect the dinim of Tuma v'Tahara? So I'm Rabbi Mani Bar Patish Kederek Sh'amul in Yisurin, just like you're not allowed to weigh with certain scales if it doesn't meet the standard standard that we just set, kacham lin to masan. So you follow the same rules as far as whether it's able to be mekabel tuma. If you're not allowed away with it, then it's not considered to be a kli, and if it's not a kli, it's not mekabel tuma. It's considered like a broken kli, because something that's not a kli is not mekabel tuma, because the entire din of tumas kelim in the Torah is only on the kli. So the kolash yipal love mehem b'mosam yitma mikol kli eitz, right? The Torah says so. Dafka it's a kli that determines whether something is mekabel tuma. The chiddush is that it's perfectly functional and it's complete and it's not broken. But if it's the wrong measure, you're not allowed to use it. If it's the wrong size, you're not allowed to use it. And if halachically you're not allowed to use it, that takes away its actual shame kli from it. So that's the din. So my kamash malan, what's he being mechadish tas tanina? We already learned this in the Mishnah Maseches Kelim, that chut mos naim shel chen v'ni v'shel balei batim tefach, that the chut that hangs the scale from the ceiling is mekabel tuma only if it's a sheer tefach. Because that's the shear that it's supposed to be in order to be able to use it. So you see that the same is true for all the other parts of the scale. Why would it be different? You know, just like the chutmas naim has to be a tefach, so the other parts of the scale also have to be up to the standards. So the Gemara answers, the Mishnah only tells us about the nefesh of the scale, the part that comes out of the ceiling that the scale is hanging on. The Mishnah never told us that there are standards for the other sides, for the other parts of the scale, and that those standards will determine the Tumah and Tahara status of the scale. So that's the Chiddush that Rabbi Mani Bar Patish was teaching us. Tan Rabban, another Braisa, Enos Mishkalos, Lo Shal Ba'at, Lo Shal Avar, Lo Shal Gisteron, Lo Shal Shamin Matchos. You don't use very heavy metals to make a scale, because these are the types of metals that over the course of time they get rubbed out and they lose some of their weight, and the kona ultimately is going to lose because he's going to pay for schora for the full weight and he's only going to get less weight. Aval osahu, but the stones that you use to weigh things on the scale should be shal tsunma v'shal zchuchis, made out of stone or made out of glass, because they don't chip or fade over time, so they're going to retain their original weight. So Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us, Ein osin hamachak shel dala'as. The machak is what you, if you have a, you fill up a kli and it's heaping, but the minig is that you only sell a non-heaping kli, so that it would smooth it out. You'd run it across the top of the kli to smooth out the heaping pile. So you're not supposed to make that machak out of dala'as, out of a gourd, because it is very light and it's not going to be mochik properly. It's not going to even out the top of the kli properly, and the mocher is therefore going to lose out. It's still going to end up with a little bit of a heaping pile inside the kli. V'lo shel matechas meishu machbid. You also shouldn't make it out of metal, because then it's going to weigh it down more than you would expect, and the lokeach is going to lose out. Avlo seu shel zayis v'shel egos. But you can make it out of zayis or out of egos, shel shikma v'shel eshbroa, or out of shikma and eshbroa. Apparently these are not too heavy and not too light. They're just right, and therefore that's the best thing to be able to make the machak out of. So another din about making the machak, Tan Rabbanan, ein osnes ha-machak tzido echad av v'tzido echad kotzer. You shouldn't make the machak with one side very thick and the other side very narrow, because it will go into the tavua, and will the side that's narrow will cut the pile very effectively, and the thicker side will not. When you buy from other people, you'll use the thicker side. When you sell to other people, you use the thinner side. So you shouldn't have two sides that you can easily use. One side when it works in your favor, and the other side when it doesn't work in your favor. So it should always be even, and it should conform. The Rashbam writes it should conform to the minhag hamakom. Meaning, so what should it be? Should it be thick? Should it be thin? Whatever the minhag hamakom is, that's the way people sell things. Lo yimchok bebasachas, when you're evening out the heaping pile using in the measuring utensils, don't be mochik it all bebasachas, you know, all at one time and quickly. Shamoch bebasachas ra lemocher v'yafalokech. That serves as a disadvantage to the seller and an advantage to the lokech, because it's not going to do such a great job, so you'll still be left with a little bit of a heaping pile. V'lo yimchok ma'at ma'at, but you also shouldn't do it too deliberately, that only a little bit at first, and then a little bit more, then a little more. Shara lokech v'yafalokech. That works as a disadvantage advantage to the lokeach and an advantage to the mocher, because it really cuts off the pile, and every time that you put the machak, it sort of presses it down further. So you have to do it at one time, but not quickly. So you do it at once, but you do it somewhat deliberately, as opposed to doing it little bit by little. Al kulan, and all these halachos that we said, all of the ways of cheating other people and what you have to avoid in order not to cheat other people. So the Gemara has an observation. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, after learning these halachos, says, what do I do with this? Oili im omer, oili im lo omer. That woe unto me if I go and I teach all these halachos, because the ganavim are going to come to those shiurim and they're going to take good notes about how to cheat everybody in business. Oh, you can have a mach. I didn't even think of a machak that stick on one side, then on the other side. That's a great idea. So you're going to give ideas to all these people. Im omer, shami yilmudu ha-ramayin. The ramayin are going to learn from me. Vim lo omer, if I don't say shami yomer ramayin, ain't tovin chum b'kim b'maisi adenu. But if you don't say it, they're going to say, oh, these naive rabbis, they have no idea what we're up to. So I have to let them know that we're on to them. They're going to think no one realizes what's going on. So it turns out the Marshal point that the Ben Kach Uben Kach, there it could lead to more Ramos. So the Marshal writes that the Chashash not to say Shemir Yomer Shein Talmid Chum Bekiyim Masi Yadenu is that the Ramos are going to say that if Talmid Chum were Bekiyim in this, they would do the same thing as well. Meaning, why is it that Talmid Chacham are so honest? Marsha says that the Ramayan are going to say everyone would cheat in business if they knew how, but the Talmid Chacham just don't know how. So the Talmid Chacham need to show we know how and we don't do it. We're still honest. So Marsha raises a question: why does Rabbi Yochanan say Oili Imlo Omer only because of the chashash of what the Ramayan are going to say? Forget about the chashash of the Ramayan. We have to be choshish that other people who are not bekiyim in these dinim and don't want to be a Ramai are going to mess up. That's why Oili Imlo Omer. What the Ramayan are going to say? Talmid Chacham don't know what we're up to. There's a bigger problem if you don't teach it. If you don't teach it, people who honest to goodness want to do the right thing. They want to be so they're not going to know what to do. They're not going to know how to be careful. So he says that reason, he says at the end, in order to be misayeya, someone who wants to be careful from gezel is not choshesh for the michshal of the gazlanim that they learn from tzadikim yelchubam. Meaning we're about to see the Gemara is going to add to this limud where we're going to address that exact issue. So let's see. So yibaylu. So they raise the following shaila. Amara or lo amara? Once Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, Oyvei, what am I supposed to do? I say it, I don't say it, I'm in trouble either way. So, what did he decide? Did he say it or did he not say it? So, Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, amara, Rabbi Yochanan said all these dinim, Umei haikra amara, he said it based on the pasuk in Hosea, Ki yisharm darkei Hashem, v'tzadikim yelchubam, uposhlim yikashlubam. That the darkei Hashem are yisharim. They are proper, they are correct, they are so the Torah should always be taught. Tzadikim will utilize the dinei HaTorah not to fool people, not to do bad things. Rishon will utilize the dinei HaTorah to trick people, and therefore, you just have to teach the Torah and hope that people are good enough to use the Torah properly and be tzadikim yelchubam in the ways of the Torah. The Gemara has that pasuk in a few different places where it darshans from tzadikim yelchubam poshim yikashubam. Right, the Gemara says that you have two people who eat Karban Pesach. One eats it L'shem mitzvah, and the other L'shem achila gasa. So the one who's eating L'shem mitzvah, because he's doing a mitzvah sachila, is tzadikim yelchubam. The one who does L'shem achila gasa is poshim yikashlubam. It's amazing. Meaning it's purely about the kavanah. They're doing the same thing, right? One is just doing it because he's being gluttonous, and the other one is doing it because he wants to do the mitzvah, right? So it's I think about that when I say kiddush on wine. You could say, I'm drinking wine. Ah, amazing. Okay, I could get a little tipsy, or you say, no, wine is something that brings a person simcha, and I designated dafka to use for the mitzvah, and that's tzadikim yelchubam versus poshim yikashlubam on different things that we have in this world. So Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us follows: Osasu avu b'mishpa b'mida b'mishkal uvamisura. So b'mida is medidas karka. Mida is how we measure land. Shelo yimdo da'echad b'mosacham alechim yosek shavim. They used to use ropes that were pre-cut to a certain distance to measure the land. The only thing is, during the summertime, it would dry up and the rope wouldn't have much stretch to it. In the wintertime, it would be moister and would be able to stretch a little bit more. So you don't want to measure with the same rope for different people in the Imos HaChama and the Imos HaGeshamim. But Mishkal, Shalo Yatmin Mishkalosa V'melech, but Mishkal means that you shouldn't keep your weights in salt because they become heavier apparently when you do. But Mesura, Shalo Yartiach. And that tells me you shouldn't pour wine to make it bubbly into the measuring kli, because then it's the bubbles are going to take up a lot of the space of the kli. It's going to make it look like it's more wine than it actually is. The kal v'chomer, we make a kal v'chomer. Uma mesura shehi echad mishloshim v'shisha belog, a mesura which is 1/36 of a log. Hikpidol of Torah. The Torah is still so careful about this. So kal v'chomer lehin v'chatzin, certainly larger kelim ahin and chatzin v'shlishin revi'asin v'log v'chatzin log revi'as v'chatzin tomen v'uchla, which is 1/5 of the log. All of these are much, much bigger than a mesura. So the Torah is makbid that you shouldn't pour too strongly in a way that's going to create foam or it's going to create bubbling at the top. Maybe another line. You're not allowed to leave an unfair weight in your house, even if it's an avid shel meimei raglayim, because we still, meaning it's a urinal, because we still have to be choshesh that a person, when he wants, will use it to measure, and they'll wash it off, and they'll clean it up, and therefore, you just have to break them. You cannot leave such a thing in your house, even if you say, look, I disregarded it. Obviously, it's in the urinal. It's a urinal cake right now. So I'm not going to use it to measure out the meat that I'm selling or anything like that. We always have to be choshesh. If it's around, then the Yetzer Hara exists. So broken midah has to be, a midah that's unfair, has to be broken, has to be destroyed, so that the Yetzer Hara should no longer exist. Okay, but from tomorrow, we'll pick up with Amar Rav Papa. Have a great day, everybody.